The highly anticipated season 3 of Ozark on Netflix, starring Jason Bateman and Laura Linney as Marty and Wendy Bird, is available now. Season 3, episode 3 of Ozark starred our old friend.
You know, actually, it'd be a huge help if you could deal with the REO Speedwagon people.
What I'm proposing is that we lease you guys your equipment.
Bands get nervous when you start subbing out sound equipment.
Would it mitigate any of those nerves if we did an extra $100,000?
I'm going to have to call the boys.
Sure, please do.
Yeah, give me a minute here.
We just need your signature on a few invoices.
Hey, Kev? Yeah. Hey, so listen, the guy here wants us to help him launder some money. Yeah, man, extra $100,000.
On the phone with us from REO Speedwagon, it is Kevin Cronin. $100,000 will do anything, right, Kev?
You know, Pete, that was I had a little time with the writers, on the day of the shoot, and I tried to tell them that $100,000 is a little low for me. You know what I'm saying? I think in order to launder money for a Mexican drug cartel, they would need to up it a little bit, but. I'll tell you what, it was weird because when I got the word that Ozark was interested in having us on and featuring our song and everything.
Wait, can I tell that story? Can I tell that story real
sure.
quick? 2 years ago, I was in
All
New
right.
York. I was in New York City, and I saw you guys. I saw our REO Speedwagon, and we met up the next day. And out of your mouth, you said, "Have you heard of the show Ozark?" They contacted us and said. They want to put us in there. And I said to you, absolutely yes. It doesn't matter what it is. This is the hottest show on Netflix. And who approached
right.
you? Was it the writers? Whose idea was it? Was it the creator?
You know, I couldn't tell you whose idea it was. All I can tell you is that when I heard about it, you told me, I talked to my kids, you know, asked them about it. They're like, "Oh, Dad, you should definitely do this show. It's great." And I had heard about the show, but I hadn't really gotten into it yet. So I agreed to do it. And then my good friend and manager, Tom Consolo, who you
uh-huh.
also know,
oh,
Pete,
yeah.
calls me up. And I can always tell when something's up by the way Tom approaches me, because he'll be like, there's one last thing I want. it's the old Columbo thing. One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to play Money Launderer. And I'm like, wait, what did you say? And the thing is, everyone else has a name of their character in the plot. So, it's not like anyone thinks that Jason Bateman is laundering money. They think Marty Bird is laundering money, But I was the only one in the script who it was like, yeah, let's call Kev and see what he thinks about it. And I'm like,
I love that.
I just
love
it.
By the way, season 3, episode 3 was called Kevin Cronin Was Here. That was the title of the episode.
Yeah, that was, and again, we went down to, we spent the day, on location, and we had a great time down there. Jason Bateman, I got to tell you, as in most organizations, the good vibe kind of starts at the top, and then everybody kind of picks it up, and Jason is just like, if the three of us were sitting in a room having a beer, we would have a great time. He's that kind of guy, just down to earth, totally cool. And so they showed us, they handed out scripts, like kind of just of the scene that we were in. And it said, on the top, it said Kevin Cronin was here. So I thought to myself, that was really a nice way to make us feel welcome. I had a couple of lines in the script. So I thought that was just for my benefit on that day. when the thing dropped and I see episode 3, I was, it was a nice compliment, honestly. It was kind of fun for my kids, to see. The wild thing about it is that since season 3 dropped, all of a sudden, Time for Me to Fly, which is the song
yep.
that, there's two versions of the song that get played Time for Me to Fly comes back on the into the top 40. Comes in the charts at number 38.
I was just going to ask you that. What have you bought now that you're getting money from Ozark?
Well, if I could leave my house, I would think about perhaps I bought some groceries. I have I have ventured out to the grocery store a couple of times, and I want to tell you, you know, when I go to the, I've been to the grocery store three times since our tour got canceled, and at each time, you know, this is our neighborhood grocery store, and I know all the people. I've been going there for 25 years, and I'm just like, thank you so much for coming to work. And the checkout people and the clerks. I mean, these people, you never really think of grocery store employees as having a dangerous occupation.
Yeah.
But right now, man, they're front line. I mean, obviously the doctors and nurses and everyone that works in the hospitals, God love them. I mean, it's incredible that we're all supposed to stay home and stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
And here's these people walking into the mouth of the beast, man, just to care for people. It brings tears to my eyes that human beings have this capacity for courage and goodness, and it's inspiring. It makes, it's what makes me want to, call in and have my voice heard in my home city of Chicago. And I'm doing whatever I can from home here, yeah, this is just a crazy. So how are things in Chicago?
Everything's on lockdown. You mentioned that the people that work at the grocery stores. My grocery store is the Jewel on Roscoe and Western, and I got Caroline, I have Barb, I have George. I know all those people by name because I've been going there forever and ever, and you're absolutely right. I mean, these people just, they're doing God's work, and we need our groceries, but people need to stay home. They just need to stay home for a period of time so we can see the curve hit the downturn. That's what it's all about.
Yes. That's really true, and it's and everyone has to not start getting at the first hint of good news. People kind of have a tendency to go, "Oh, great, we can get back to normal now." It's like, no. Everyone needs to really sit tight and pay attention. We were contacted by the by Senator Duckworth's office. I had done a little work with Senator Duckworth on the songwriter legislation which was about a year ago, and Senator Duckworth came through. She put her name on this bill that was protecting songwriters in this age of streaming and digital downloading. And as usual, the songwriters get screwed, and everybody else gets paid.
Right.
And so Tammy came through for us, and so I kind of formed a little vibe with her. And then when I heard her story, my God, what an amazing human being she is. And so she called, and I just taped a public service thing for the state of Illinois, which should be, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but it's like, that's what we can do as entertainers, artists, whatever. We can, put our voice behind it
and get the word
crazy
out.
Time.
Yes, we're talking with Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon, Season 3, Episode 3. You can see Kevin and REO Speedwagon in that episode. I want to get serious for a second. You're talking about Senator Duckworth. You still love this city. You still love this state. And when I mentioned that you were going to be on, I got messages from Gary Menier, who's the mayor of Washington. He says hello. Mayor Artis from Peoria, you had a concert in Peoria that was canceled on this tour because of the coronavirus. I mean, people love you because you still do work here. And I do want to mention how sorry I was to hear about the passing of your parents. I know how close you were and how they were pillars in the community here in Chicago.
Yeah, they certainly were, and last year was a rough year. We thought last year was, but my wife and I, when we made it through 2019, we're like, phew, because, as you say, rest in peace, my mom and dad. But you know what the beauty of it was is that, you look for the silver lining, and my mom, was suffering from Lewy body dementia, and she was pretty deep into it. And if you ever met my mom, you know, before this disease got the best of her, she was just that's where I got my fearlessness as far as performing, because my mom was just she was the kind of person that entered the room and everybody in the room benefited from her being there. You know, that was
that's
just
awesome.
She was an amazing personality. And, you know, and my dad was like the rock of the family there. And but the beauty of it was, because my mom, we all assumed that my mom would pass first, because my dad was pretty healthy, and he was still going. He was still walking a mile every day at 93. But he passed first. So he never had to experience my mom's passing.
Yeah.
And because of my mom's dementia, she never had to experience his passing. So it was kind of poetic, kind of a poetic end to their 69-year love affair, you know.
Wow.
So but as far as my connection to Chicago, even though they're, you know, they've passed, you know, we had to sell the house that I grew up in, and my connection to Chicago is, I mean, it's just, you know, I played every club up, you know, the Earl of Old Town, the Quiet Night, they're all, of course, gone now, but, you know, all the folk clubs up and down North Lincoln Avenue, and I played every venue, the Aragon, the Auditorium, the International Amphitheater, I mean, every place, you know, and, you know, I drove a yellow cab in Chicago, you know, so.
What? Wait a second, I've known you forever, you've never brought that up. You drove a cab?
I drove a yellow cab. As a matter of fact, I was going to school at Loyola up in Rogers Park.
Sure.
And it was a crazy time to be going to school, because it was the Democratic National Convention of 1968. Everything kind of hit the fan.
Right.
And I graduated high school in 69. So I was in college, you know, 69, 70. And, you know, of course, 70 was when the Kent State shootings happened. And,
right.
And the college campuses were just like, it was just a free for all, basically. And so I dropped out, and, you know, was trying to, get my career as a musician going, and I think I probably told you about the musician's referral service, the little company that I started. But I started this little thing called the musician's referral service, but there was no money to be made by it. So the only way I figured I could do it was a friend of mine started driving a cab. And was like, hey, man, you can just, you don't have to go in at any specific hours. You can, you know, and so I was like, okay. I was driving a cab when I got the call from Gary Richrath, Gary called the musician's referral service, and that was the end of my cab driving career.
I grew up in Peoria, and Gary, of course, grew up in Creve Coeur right there. I mean, talk about a rock star. I mean, he was just loved down there, and you two, writing partners. I mean, just there's so much history in this state, and I love that you still give back. I do, even though you live in California where it's warm.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Gary is, I did a long interview with Eddie Trunk for Sirius XM Volume. It's going to be on Monday at 11 o'clock, probably 1 o'clock your time, and we talked a lot about Gary, and because Gary was underappreciated. I mean, the people who knew us, you know, the people from Illinois, the people in the Midwest knew how amazing Gary was, but he never got the recognition that he deserved. I mean, you're right. He was a living, breathing rock star. I mean, when he played the guitar, it was, you know, I think of guys like Jimi Hendrix, who when they played, it was like a physical thing. It was like the guitar became a part of their body, and that's how Gary was. He played the guitar like he was making love to it. He really did, and he's Hendrix like in that way. And I was telling Eddie yesterday that one of my frustrations is because Gary was kind of at his peak you know, between 77 and 83. That was when, you know, he was just on top of his game and writing great songs and, you know, looked great and amazing shape and all the things that he had going for him. And, you know, I kind of hit my prime a little bit later. You know, I feel like I'm kind of singing my best now, you know, and I just wish I could take myself and everything I've learned over the past 20 years and, you know, teleport myself back to 1977 for Gary and I to be at our peak at the same time. That would have been really fun. And, you know, I'm saddened that this great resurgence that REO Speedwagon has experienced over the past 20 years, that Gary isn't with us to enjoy it, because he deserves it, man. He was the guy that, you know, that wrote those songs that we still play and you know, built the foundation of REO Speedwagon. And, you know, we miss him. But you know what? I'll tell you what, as I say every night, his spirit lives on in every REO Speedwagon concert. So, yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Well, I love that you get up there and you tell stories before a lot of the songs. And, yeah, you talk about Gary. You talk about growing up in Chicago. And you talk about how you wrote those songs. And I just love it. And, you know, I'm one of your biggest fans because I'm looking at the text messages right now. I saw REO back in 1975. I mean, there is so much history with REO Speedwagon in Chicago. But I do need to say this, and I love to say it every time you're on the air with me. You need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Styx needs to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a shame that they favor East Coast bands, these Midwestern bands. Finally, Chicago gets in. Finally, Cheap Trick gets in. You need to go in.
Well, I tell you what, you know, that would be awesome. But in the meantime, you know, the state of Illinois is opening the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum and Hall of Fame, and it's going to be housed in Joliet.
Yep.
The opening was supposed to be like now, you know, and of course it got postponed because of the crisis, the situation that we're in. But Styx is going in first ballot, REO is going in first ballot, and a Cheap Trick, of course, and Chicago, of course, and Jim Peterik and the Ides of March and Survivor. Yeah, so it's going to be so those of us who are not quite I don't know, for whatever reason, quite in the one in Cleveland, we'll be in the Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you know what? I'm good with that, because it was the people of Illinois who put us on the map. I mean, without the people of Illinois, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. And so I owe everything to the people that used to come and see me at the Bulls and Orphans in Chicago would sit there and listen to me solo acoustic playing some of the same songs that REO Speedwagon ended up making hits of later. But you know, it's those early fans who take your music into their hearts and who support you, even if it's 50 people in a club. You know, you walk out after that night and you feel like they liked it, you know, and that gives you the ammunition to carry on and to think that maybe you can appeal to even more people. But and the thing about REO Speedwagon is we have a huge respect for what got us here, and we've never lost sight of that. And when we come back and play in Chicago or Champaign or Carbondale or Springfield, any place we play, Rockford in Illinois, there's a certain feeling that we get when we play, you know, home state gigs that we don't get anywhere else in the world, because the people there, we know them, we are them, they are us, and so our music, you know, hits them on a real, subconscious level or whatever, because we're all the same, we all come from the same mindset, you know. Yeah.
Kev, you are the absolute best. Season 3, Episode 3 of Ozark. You can see REO Speedwagon getting $100,000 to launder for Marty and Wendy Bird.
Kev, well, we don't do it in real life, I promise.
Kev, you're the best. Happy self-quarantine. Stay safe, and we'll see each other very, very soon.
All right, you too, man. Stay safe. Everybody in Illinois, stay safe. Follow the guidelines, as Pete said earlier. You know, out of respect for the people on the front lines, we got to do our part and stay home and make the best of this time. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I wish everyone in Illinois, safety and good health. And let's talk again in the not-too-distant future, Pete, okay?
Thank you, brother. Take care. That is Kevin Cronin from REO.